Hello and welcome to Her Ambitious Career, the success podcast for corporate women who want more from their lives and careers. Each week, we share career and leadership strategies to help you set stretching goals, own your value, build visibility and credibility, gain recognition, get paid, and confidently take your career to that next level. Whatever your ambition, let's do this thing. Now, here's your host and career success expert, Rebecca Allen.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome on in. Today I am joined, ladies, by the fabulous Trang Dao, who has got a career spanning over 20 years in communications, marketing, and strategy. And we are going to be talking today about influential communications specifically, which is quite a broad topic. We're going to be talking about how to be more influential in your general communication, in meetings, in presentations. And of course, hopefully there are some practical insights for you to take out. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Ladies, welcome on in. Today I am joined by Trang Dao, and Trang and I actually met over 10 years ago, I think it was, Trang. Was it about 10 years ago?
Oh, yes, I think it was.
It was before children. It was well before we both had our children. And we met at a Toastmasters event in a very dark, old-fashioned room in Sydney CBD, didn't we?
Yes.
And it was really great actually to have Trang there, because we were both kind of new to presentation skills. We were both kind of excited to be joining this new club, keen to kind of learn the skills of presenting and influence. And we went for a number of months, didn't we? Nearly a year, I think, actually.
We did.
Yeah, but it was the beginning of our beautiful friendship. And here we are over 10 years later and talking today about influential communication. We've learned a lot along the way. Still lots to learn, but that's fine. We're all on a journey. So, Trang, I'd be really interested to ask you, what does influential communication mean to you?
Yeah, the range is so wide on this. Yeah. And so I kind of come at it from two places. I come at it from a marketing type position, where I've interacted in a lot with a lot of comms that need to be delivered for businesses. And I also come at it from a relationship perspective. So where I've experienced it with my kids, with my partner, with my friends, you know, we're doing it almost every day. You know, there's just communications that has to happen that could start from a factual position, which, you know, is for me not influential communication. It's just delivering sort of task, activity-based or information-based messages, all the way through to convincing and being compelling. And to me, that's where you, when you bridge that chasm, that's where influential communication really comes into play. It's where you're selling an idea that really that audience didn't start off on that page with you.
Yeah, I love that definition. I think that's really interesting. Yeah. One of the things that happens quite a lot in my business, obviously we're a career coaching business, is people will come to me and they'll say, Rebecca, I just want to be more influential. And like you say, it's such a broad topic and very subjective. Like, what does that actually mean? Like, what does that mean for you? Is that about, like you say, influencing ideas? Is that about selling an idea? Is that about influencing decision-making? There's lots and lots of different ways in which we can influence. Influence can also, I think, be around how you build rapport with people and how you connect with people and how you build trust with people.
Absolutely.
As the means to kind of build that sort of foundation to be able then to, you know, influence their decision making or their thought process.
Absolutely. And for me, it also comes back to being able to really change someone's position on things. You know, they might not have started in that spot, but through listening to you or through, you know, interacting with you, they've come on that journey and they've been either swept off their feet. And that's really compelling.
Yeah. It's interesting, actually, you refer to the two sides in your world. So you're in marketing, obviously. So it's also about sort of persuasion in terms of a business kind of context. And then also the relationship side, because I used to work in advertising. My previous career was in advertising. And, you know, we would pitch for business. Mm-hmm. And I would always find pitches so fascinating because pitches were all about sort of really getting under, you know, and a great understanding of the product, the problems it was solving, how it differentiated itself from its competitors, and trying to find influential messaging, of course, to sell said product and find something that was really, really different and engaging. And there would be such a song and dance that would go on around the agency when you'd have these clients come in to do the pitch because you wanted to impress them, right? And you wanted to do things that were completely different and memorable and sometimes very kooky. But I always found that really interesting because that was absolutely about trying to persuade and to influence and to ignite something, you know, new, some new idea in them that you could do something that nobody else could, which I always found really fascinating. You know, I remember we had motorbikes sometimes in the agency and, you know, just really ridiculous things. There was one time where we had, we recreated an entire supermarket inside our agency.
Oh, wow.
It was just insane. You know, some of the kind of pictures that you did, but it was about just sort of trying to connect with people on lots of multiple levels, mm-hmm. not just about, you know, this is the business pitch. It was about creating this whole experience around our interest in working with you, our interest in working with your product and with your company. And, you know, it was just a really interesting way of trying to influence and to connect, I think.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's so multi-layered. And I think this is the magic, I guess, of wanting to be influential, because it's not a one-way situation and it's not on a single pane. It's actually getting to the various layers and really understanding who it is that you're trying to influence as well. So having that interaction is really important. Having that feedback back is really important as well. And it has to be part of that process, I find. Otherwise, it's really, you know, you're just giving a presentation, which in my view sometimes is not all that influential.
Yes, yes. You have to think a bit more deeply, don't you, about the kind of real kind of needs of the individuals.
Yeah.
So in terms of your experience from a corporate perspective, you know, have you seen people do a really great job of influencing in, say, meetings or in big town hall discussions or whatever it might be? Have you had some experiences that you could share?
Yeah. I mean, I've been very fortunate in my career to be able to, you know, hire influential speakers to coach, you know, the coaching all around delivering presentations and messages is really critical within the marketing sphere. And then to also do that for my own brand in leading teams and functions, you really want to have the buy-in of other stakeholders. So, yes, I've been really fortunate to have that really broad scope of how to be influential and crafting those influential engagements within organizations as well. And for me, it's really when it happens is when the message is really authentic in all realms of things. You think, oh, how can business communications be all that authentic for some, right? And there is definitely a way that it needs to be authentic, I think, when it's been delivered, because you're trying to engage an audience or another individual. And unless you come from a spot of authenticity, I think it can be really jarring to see that difference. When it's done well, it's also very engaging, which when you break that down, it's an understanding of who you're speaking with and where they come from, perhaps as well. So this is the difference between just delivering the facts or delivering the insights, right? Mm. Delivering the insights is really about understanding what your stakeholders and the other person who's receiving your message or perhaps your conversation, what could they be thinking and how can they understand this best? How does it impact them or how does it make it relevant to them? And then I think finally it's about getting that feedback as well. You know, influential communicators are really great at getting feedback in the moment, not just prior to. We don't all have the luxury of delivering presentations as our mode of influential communications. And I think the real setback in that is you've got to try and get that feedback in the moment as well and then be able to tweak it. So that you know whether the message or the conversation is gelling with someone, you know whether it's actually it's actually relevant for them, and it's actually moving them from a place of no change to change.
Yes. Yeah. I think that's fascinating, that idea that you should be able to kind of read people's body language, you know, how they're replying, how they're maybe not replying. Yes. Try to read through the lines and sort of see how your message is landing and adjusting, like you say. I think that's a really interesting way of looking at it. And I loved what you said earlier also about being authentic, because I think when you speak about anything that you're passionate about, like I do remember actually in one of the, because after I was doing Toastmasters with you, I did Toastmasters at another place. And in that place, I remember having, getting some feedback. You know, Toastmasters is all about getting the feedback, right?
Yes.
And I was thinking about a topic that I really, really wasn't that excited about, but it kind of met the grief of whatever the system was I was going through at the time. And it showed clearly, because the feedback that I got is that you're clearly not that engaged, passionate about the topic. And anybody who knows me, when I talk about something that I love and I'm interested in, it's a whole other, you know, ball game. And I think you're right. I think when we talk about things that we're passionate about and that we genuinely care about and that we value, then not only do we sound more engaged in it and more alive in it and more, you know, your ability to influence is obviously 10 times, 20 times, but I think also your confidence increases. And therefore, you know, this idea that sort of confidence or certainty sells, I think that's a very important aspect of communicating, when we're sort of sure of what we're saying, when we're, you know, speaking with authority, with clarity, with passion. I think all of those elements coming together give you that authenticity and that ability to build trust with the audience. And, you know, they want to come with you on that journey. They want to come with you because there's the energy and the passion from you.
Yeah. Yes. And Rebecca, I want to say that, you know, authenticity doesn't always mean that we can't be passionate about everything we're talking about. We'd be existed, right? And it's just not life.
It's not possible.
Really not life.
Yeah.
So I think authenticity is really, can sometimes be achieved by just kind of stating where you're at with it as well. So that it really puts someone at ease to know that perhaps you don't know what's going to happen next, I think is a really good one. And it's an authentic one. If you don't know what's going to happen next, right? You can't be delivering a message to pretend that you know what's happening next and to be excited about it, right? Because that, I think that's where it goes wrong. So I think a lot of the times we say, there's so much talk about authenticity, and to the point where I think it's oversaid. Like
it needs to be established,
yes, but it doesn't need to be overworked.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's an honesty in there that's really important.
Yes.
Like you say, if we don't know the answer, then it's important to say we don't know the answer.
Yes.
And to be okay with that. I mean, you know, like you say, you know, we're human beings and we can't possibly know everything about everything and have all the solutions there and then. But I think you're right. In that setting, I think absolutely it's important that we're honest, and that builds trust as well. We've talked quite a lot about presentations, Trang. And the other thing that was kind of just running through my mind was this idea that it would be valuable to think about influential communication also just in the context of day-to-day dealings with people, you know, just sort of your day-to-day sort of short meetings, your day-to-day water cooler moments. Not we're having a lot of those at the moment with people working from home remotely, etc. But, you know, that kind of concept that this isn't just something that applies when you're presenting. It's also something that applies to every moment of your day. Like you said at the beginning, you know, you might have families, or you might have friends, or you might have, you know, colleagues, whoever it might be. It's all about sort of building rapport with people and, you know, wanting to spend time with people so that they want to spend time with you too. And it's sort of like an ongoing process, influential communication. It's not just something that happens when you're sort of thrown at the front of a room or thrown behind a lectern at a conference or something.
Yes.
It's also in your day-to-day interactions as well, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I say you're one person. So this idea of influential or being influential or influential communications isn't about something that you are only in when you craft it. Early in my career, I definitely started this way. You know, I definitely thought it was a craft and it was a show of somewhat and a presentation. But it really isn't. And your own personal brand, your own personal credibility, where you come from, all of that formulates part of the message and your life, really. And whether, you know, whether that message is me delivering or trying to, you know, convince my kids to put on their shoes before school or in the boardroom, I mean, I think it's one life, right? So one person, and you do need to take all of these aspects into it. I think where you have the mismatch perhaps that can come through when you're starting out and in that phase where you're just crafting and you're thinking, trying different strategies that perhaps may not be true to you or true to parts of you that can be seen. I think this is all the learnings, right? But it's really important to consider that. And plus we have social media now. So that all of that parts of your life where you thought once could not be seen can be seen. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is really important to balance. It's a difficult one. Because we obviously, like, there are times when we let our guard down, and those are the times that maybe we don't think we need to be influential. Yeah. But they all formulate, you know, whether that you can be or you are not.
It's all interconnected, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, there's so much that we've covered in today's episode, Trang. You know, I'm going to try and summarize because I think there's a few things that are really, really kind of coming out for me. One is that, you know, this is an organic process. And like you say, it's not necessarily a craft. It's something that we just need to commit to on a day-to-day basis, learn more about other people in terms of what they're looking for, what they need for us to help them solve their own challenges, essentially. It's like listening and adapting our message to the audience and trying to understand what they need most from me right now, I think.
Yeah.
It's being honest, like you said. I think that's a really important part of it. And I think that idea that, yeah, you said something earlier about, you know, moving from facts. Do you mind just repeating that one?
Yeah, I think when you start off with communication, you can start off with the really not basic, but the really core tenets of communication, which is to deliver a certain message, right? And often in that we think of that being in the context of fact-based. And as I've moved through my life and career, I now think that it has to be a combination of facts and insights and advice to be more compelling.
I love that. That was it. That was the really good nugget that, you know, you can definitely explain much better than me. But that's exactly right. It's about the insights. I love that, sort of being able to see between the lines and giving additional value to the conversation. Trang, thank you so much. That's been really, really interesting. Like you say, it's a very broad topic. It's a very difficult one to try and talk about in 20 minutes and nail it, you know, on the head with one exact, you know, solution. But it's definitely given us, you know, things to think about. And I've really, really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thanks so much for having me.
I always love talking about communication skills because without our communication skills, we don't have a lot of ability to influence and to lead. I think it really helps to continuously work on how you communicate and how you're coming across. So listen, if you're interested in getting help in your career, that's where we come in. I would love to gift you one of our most popular downloads. It's called The 7 Habits of Female Execs Who Get Promoted. If you're looking to get promoted this year or want to learn some specific skills to raise your profile, increase your visibility, and land new opportunities at work, then this is the tool for you. You just need to head to rebeccasfreegift.com and it will wang its way straight to your inbox and you'll be able to devour all of those tips straight away. And I look forward so much to seeing you again next week. It's going to be a blast. Have a great week.